Just to let you know, it's past time to start, but we're waiting for another person so that we'll have a quorum is what I meant to say. I'll call the meeting to order, since we do have a quorum now. Thank you, Astrid. Stephanie, may I have the roll call, please?
Astrid Berkson?
Here.
Margaret White? Susan Fowler?
Here.
Elaine Palencia? Tom Moore? Judy O'Connor?
Here.
Julian Rappaport?
Here.
Ann Robin? Deborah Townsend?
Here. Is there any citizen input or public participation at this time? All right, seeing none, we'll move ahead. Are there any additions or changes in the agenda? Yes.
I would like to suggest that we, even though it's an old business item, that we allow the evaluation team to present their report early in the process, as early as we can, so that they don't have to sit through the whole meeting.
You don't think that they would enjoy it?
Well, they might decide they'd want to.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to stay for the whole thing. Okay. Yes, we can do it pretty quick. Is there any DDB information to be reported today? Okay, seeing none, we'll go on with approval of our minutes of the last meeting. I need a motion for that, please. Thank you. Thank you. It's second. Astrid. All in favor? Or
discussion,
yeah. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, the same. Okay. It's time for my comments. I'll make them brief. Just so everybody knows, Peter has changed his retirement date from the end of June to August 31st. So we'll have him around for a while yet. We will be having a meeting, a closed session, I hope, if the board agrees, in order to talk with the search committee and find out where they are and what they're doing. Okay. You want to say anything about it now or no?
No, we're hoping to go into closed session about 6:30 in order to discuss the status of the search and potential candidates.
Yeah, okay. 6:30 or sooner. All right. Peter, your comments.
Well, the only thing I would like to add to what you said was that I was asked because of the progress of the search if I would stay on. And, I want to see.
Can I ask you?
I think several people did, yeah.
Somebody.
Anyway, the point would be that I think that my successor would probably be on board by September 1st, and so we thought that would be an adequate time. And I want to make sure that whatever happens, that it goes well for the board. So I don't really have any other comments, though.
Okay, then thank you, Peter. And then we've had staff reports. Do you want to say anything
briefly, Mark? I don't. If there are questions on the staff report, I'll be happy to take those. I did pass out a spreadsheet. It kind of, it's something I've done a number of times now, but it breaks out by, I guess, priority area, our investment, and it's been updated based on the action taken at the May meeting. So it divides our allocations by areas of focus related to criminal justice, adult services, juvenile justice services, specialty court, and then victim supports, and then community-based services, our system of care investments, and then also IDDD. And then you'll see the dollar amounts, and then each section totaled, and then a percentage. Generally, I've done this in order to reflect what the Mental Health Board's investment has been or is related to criminal justice. And you'll see, based on the way they're grouped, that about 46% of our money is in some way tied back to the criminal justice system. Oh, sure. Yes, that's actually something that came to our attention, an opportunity through Lynn's involvement with the National Association. And it is an exercise that will bring together various, I guess, key stakeholders that will, through a facilitator provided through NACBED, the National Association, Champaign County, along with two other counties, will go through this exercise of identifying what our relationships are between law enforcement and various services in the community, and then also what gaps exist and how to, you know, collaborate and kind of coordinate services in a better fashion. It's tied to Intercept One, which is the first intercept of five related to services involving the criminal justice system and the community. And Intercept One is specific to that first contact that law enforcement has and ways that they can interact with the community in diverting people from getting penetrating deeper into the criminal justice system. And that this is an exercise that will occur July 12th. Community Elements has agreed to host it because it actually requires a fair amount of technology. We actually looked into this room, but it's actually too large for what we're looking at doing. And I'll be happy to talk to you more about it, Julian, after the meeting. All right?
I just thought it would be useful for people
to know. Sure. Sure.
Mark, you don't need to tell me today, but I would be curious to see, this is very helpful to see the breakdown or the breakout of the percentages from the Mental Health Board to various initiatives.
Mm-hmm.
I know that we've increased our at least our discussion focus on criminal justice, and I would just like to know how our expenditures across these various components compare over the last several years. Is 46% comparable to what we did a year ago? Is it an increase related to new special initiatives? Ditto for community-based services?
Sure. I can tell you in general, over the last 3-4 years, our increase in criminal justice has increased. I think last year we might have been at 43-44%, so it's gone up, and I think you would, and I'll be happy to do that, but I would say that it's probably gone up from the late 35% to up to where we are now, but I'll be happy to pull that together.
It might be helpful for the August meeting or whenever we get back together again.
Sure. Sure.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, sure.
Just a quick comment to add to what Mark is reporting on the money, but I also think that there has been a significant redirection of effort, and you know, we really sharpened the focus in the last several years. So you know, a lot of money has been redirected.
Right.
So.
Lynn, is there anything you want to just briefly
about the ACMI quarterly meeting, which was held last Thursday and Friday? The content was on Thursday, there are training events, and the, so the first bit of it was several speakers about children's mental health. So we heard about the nice system of care work that has been occurring in Livingston County. This is for people from birth to 18. It's connecting services across all the sectors. It's a really nice project. And bonus points, the speaker for that part was amazing. And her name is Crystal Shelvin, and she used to work here. So she might be an interesting person for us to get someday if we wanted to do a study session on children's mental health. She was riveting, didn't you think?
Did you? We should steal her.
We should steal her. And then there was also there was a nice presentation about trauma-informed systems of care, and that, you know, so a lot of the stuff we already know about, but it was nice to hear it again, and substance use disorder programming for youth. So those were the most content. And then we had, for the first time, the association had a really strong interest in more roundtable discussions on particular topics, and our topic was actually program evaluation and how we, you know, what does each member board, and this includes some of the smaller ones, do to measure whether the outcomes of their investments are worth it, and to then speak to the community about that. So that was it was nice. It was the first time we tried it. It was really good and full of a lot of different ideas about how to do that. So skipping forward, the next membership meeting is in September, and it's in Champaign. And the topic for that training day, which will be the Thursday, is criminal justice and mental health. So we have some local leaders coming to speak about some of the collaborations that the Mental Health Board has been involved in for a long time. So I think that will be, you can all come. So, and it's here, so it's convenient. So I think that will be a really nice one, just to sit back and kind of relax, like, yeah, we've got experts here.
Thank you, Lynn. Any questions, comments? All right, we'll move along. Is Barb Bressner here? Perhaps she'll come later, in which case she can do her report later. I'm going to ask if it's okay with the board if we move up item old business, item 15A. Nicole and Mark are both here, and we do want to hear from them, but we don't want to force them to, even though they love it. You know, we want them to feel free to leave after they've given their report. But you're welcome to stay. Yeah, so is that all right with everybody? Is there any objection to that? Okay, let's go.
Well, good evening, everyone. We'll try to go through this at pace so you can get to your other business and also your closed session in the timing that you're hoping for. But what we wanted to do was just walk you through some of the components of the report that we made to the board, and we've met with the evaluation subcommittee of the board and also with the evaluation subcommittee of the mental health agencies committee or the funded programs. And I just want to start with a couple of acknowledgments. I'm going to take us through this, and Mark will chime in as I'm leaving things out. And I want to acknowledge that we met many times with representatives from funded programs, and I just want to acknowledge them because they spent a lot of time with us, and the only common time we could find was late on a Friday, 3 to 5. So Adelaide Amy, Julie Cartel, Gail Rainey, Isak Griffiths, Jennifer Knapp, and Vicky Tolf, and also our research assistant, Hope Holland, who's here. And also to thank all of you for the time that you took to do interviews with us. We were able to speak with most board members, and we appreciate it. All of that input, I think, helped us hone in on some starting recommendations that we think would be instrumental in helping the board build evaluation capacity among funded programs. So we'll start off with a few of the activities we engaged in. Very briefly go through some of the things we learned about your current lay of the land regarding evaluation, a couple of things about priorities, but we want to spend the bulk of the time on what we recommend going forward. So we attended a retreat with all of you back in October. We reviewed in great depth your 2015 performance outcome reports because we wanted to actually see and take a snapshot of how evaluation data was being gathered and reported on by your funded programs. As I mentioned, we met with funded agency leaders multiple times. We interviewed board members. We did a survey of all funded programs to ask them about their evaluation activities and priorities and had 100% response on that, which I appreciate. And we also reviewed the literature on building evaluation capacity and some of the best practices in doing so, especially with an emphasis on how funders do that in their funded programs. So one thing just to lead off with is that all agencies engage in evaluation. So all of your funded programs are engaged in evaluation in one form or fashion. So there's already a foundational capacity in that it's not an entirely new concept and you already have folks with some practices in place. One of the things that's very clear and that you already know is that your funded programs engage in a very wide array of service types. So it's not that you have a broad portfolio. It's not that you fund one type of program. And when we looked at your performance outcome reports, and this is very difficult to read, but it's in your written report, you have services from individual counseling to assessment to case management to various forms of community engagement, substance abuse treatment, group therapy, and so on. And the reason why this is valuable just to highlight is because there was some desire to think about common outcomes or common processes across funded programs. And I think given this diversity, it seemed to us unlikely that you'd be able to hone in on specific outcomes that would be truly common and relevant across funded programs given their varied forms. And this is just that same look. The first table I showed here is whatever the primary service that was provided by the funded program. And this is when you look at all the services that are provided, what kinds of representation there is. There's a lot of variation in the type of data that's gathered, and satisfaction data is the most common. So you also have funded programs asking about client skill improvement, clients' perceptions of whether their needs were met, and clients' perceived quality of life and hopefulness. So those were the most common outcomes assessed by programs, but there was a lot of variation. And very few agencies used any empirically based assessments to do their outcome evaluation or to do evaluation over time. So sometimes they were using measures that they had created themselves or that were commonly used in their field, which may or may not have been validated. So there's lots of variation in terms of the quality of data that was gathered. Another common theme was that evaluation was not explicitly anchored to goals. And this is something that came up quite a bit in our meetings, both from the standpoint of funded programs and with board members, this issue of wanting to understand more, how does this set of data that was gathered actually speak to what this program hoped to achieve? So really yoking the purpose of the program to the data that was gathered as a way to think about, was that program, quote unquote, doing what it said it would do? Or was it achieving the kinds of outcomes that were hoped for in terms of those being served? And finally, there was a huge amount of variation in how data is reported in final performance outcome reports. And of course, that makes sense because they're gathering different sorts of data. But it was also the kind of thing where the sort of information you'd want to know in order to make sense of what the findings mean from reported evaluation data. So for example, how many people were served and how many did I talk to? So if I served 100 and I spoke to 10, I'm going to think about that data slightly differently than if I served 100 and I was able to talk with 90. So sometimes there was kind of fundamental information not in performance outcome reports that would help one understand what was evaluated and what it means. The kinds of priorities that funded programs and board members mentioned had to do certainly with effectiveness. Do we make a difference in people's lives? Also doing what was intended or questions related to fidelity. Was the program implemented in the way the funded program said it would be, or in the way that that particular evidence-based practice is supposed to be implemented? There was an emphasis or a desire to create individualized evaluation plans. So there was more of a sense that that was viable versus having more common processes that would be applied across funded programs. So possible but not likely common outcomes. And one that would occasionally come up was quality of life, and that is something that's commonly measured by programs already and that might be applicable from one program to the next. It's not that it's a generic outcome, but generally speaking, we're often trying to improve quality of life and the way that we intervene in people's lives. Okay. And there was a shared priority around evaluation. There's certainly a culture and a value placed on evaluation among those that we spoke with. So do you feel that your program has the resources needed to engage in effective evaluation? And I apologize for the typo there. And we have only 6 of the funded agencies saying, yes, we've got what we need. And most saying, like, oh, we got a little bit, and a number saying no. And I put this here, we put this here only to sort of emphasize the needs to build in support for funded programs so that they can increase the value of the data and information that they're gathering and the way that they're sharing it. So we made 10 recommendations in the report, and we describe each one of them, and I'm going to go through them again like at a clip, but we're happy to answer questions and also happy to discuss this at various points to get more in-depth feedback as there's time to do so. And the first was the importance of creating a learning organization among funded agencies in the CCMHB. I think everyone acknowledges that if evaluation activities were tightly yoked to funding in a way that they were primarily experienced as a stick, you'll show us this work or your funding is gone, would probably not create the sort of climate where people felt like they could transparently share what they're learning from their evaluation data. And this was really expressed from both sides of this process. There were some folks from the board member side who said, I really don't want to sit there and have folks just tell us the best of the best of the best, right? The idea is that everyone's working together to create the best possible service array and offerings for people in need in Champaign County. So the importance of creating a learning system where there's a value placed on saying, we tried this and it didn't work, so we made this change, we tried it this way, we gathered more information and this is what we learned. And this concept is common, you know, in organizational change work, to think about creating this value on learning to encourage that transparent sharing. And we'll come back to this theme a couple of times. There was also an acknowledgement for both the standpoint of the board and the funded programs that if something is just not working and there's no evidence that it works, you know, that they, absolutely, that sort of data would be tied to funding decisions. But the idea is not in such a way that one would make absolute decisions over the course of a year. Often we just don't have enough information in that period of time about whether something absolutely works or not. We would recommend that a uniform performance outcome format is created and utilized by funded programs. It's very difficult to consume information when it's in every which way but loose in terms of the way that it's presented. Information is there, it's not there. And if there was some structure, and we provide sort of a sample structure in the report to you, that more clearly guided what funded programs were supposed to provide in the performance outcome piece, that would probably also draw and pull for certain kinds of information and just increase the uniformity of that information from one program to the next. And of course, it's still possible a funded program would say, well, this piece or this piece is not applicable for us, and that's okay, but at least the structure is there and the expectation is clear. We would recommend that you encourage and support the development of theory of change logic models. Many funders do this. United Way does this already locally. We didn't say require, because creating good logic models really does require support, and I think before it became a requirement, there needs to be capacity building around doing logic models and doing them well. But this is such a fundamental part of thinking about evaluation, because your questions ought to stem from what you thought you would achieve, I'm sorry, I keep hitting that, what you thought you would achieve and why you thought that would happen. You know, what was your theory of change in your program? And that really guides your questions. It guides your questions about how you do your work and also what you ought to be looking for as markers to say, like, we did this and it helped people. So to create those sorts of performance markers. So this could be done collectively in different subgroups of programs, but to get folks thinking about what their theory of change is and then to build evaluation plans that are actually connected to that content. We recommended creating or using existing settings for organizations to share lessons learned from evaluation. So you have all of your funded programs already coming together in the MHAC meeting, and our limited experience of that meeting is that it's primarily around reporting out. But it's also a space where you have just a rich array of your funded programs there on a regular basis, where that sort of learning and experimentation and facilitating a learning organization could also happen, where programs are sharing how things are going, what they're trying, what's working, what's not working. So the MHAC could take on another role, I think, in that evaluation process. Another theme that came up was the issue of two-year contracts. And specifically, the idea was that when a funded program is innovating and when they're committed to having a strong evaluation plan related to those efforts, especially if they're innovating in areas of priority, that creating a slightly longer contract period may create more time for that innovation to happen. And I'm sure that's come up here as a theme. I believe it has, and that was a theme that came up from a number of places. We recommend choosing 4 programs for targeted evaluation support. So if we were able to continue into a year 2, actually taking 4 funded programs, how they would be chosen would have to be done in collaboration with the board and staff. But actually developing plans and supporting the implementation of those plans. So we're not talking about being external evaluators to those programs, because the idea is to build internal resources and capacity. So it would be in-depth consultation to get 4 programs really in the process of implementing sustainable evaluation efforts. Related to that, we also recommend the creation of an evaluation consultation bank, and this is something that comes up as a best practice in the literature, where a funder says, we have X number of hours, and any of our funded programs can apply to use them. And apply is not like a 12-page application. It's like, we need help finalizing our logic model and coming up with the 2 questions we're going to focus on. And then they can draw down from the consultation bank and partner with an expert in evaluation to help them with various facets of their process. So this is a little bit lighter, in a sense, than the targeted partnerships that we're recommending, but it allows folks who say, you know, we just really need a measure to understand how social support's changing over time for folks, and then the consultation bank helps them identify valid measures to measure social support, and especially sensitive measures in evaluating change over time in social support. Does that make sense? So this is a supplemental. The idea of building a buffet. So we would recommend using a tool like Google Drive or another digital repository where the pieces that are being developed from those 4 targeted agencies or the evaluation consultation bank are getting banked digitally so that other programs can use them. So it's creating a shared space for your funded programs in perpetuity to go to oft-used measures or, you know, Excel spreadsheets that help them generate the graphs they want to see to look at change or things like that. So building tools that are broadly available. This was a theme that came up. Some agencies are very comfortable and have the resources to do evaluation. Others are less so, and there was a desire to do mentorship and apprenticeship, agency to agency. So I don't know how that could be incentivized or cultivated. It might come through those MHAC meetings, but connection across the funded programs to support one another. Especially if you have a relatively new program, they're starting out, there might be a venue for mentorship. And the last one was identifying priorities at the community level and pursuing those questions as a board. And this was a theme that came up multiple times, really, with all the folks that we met. I mean, with board members, with funded programs, were questions, some of which were very much about funded programs, but some of which were really about the system as a whole. So, for example, some people really wanted to understand better the nature of coordination across agencies. And some folks said, as providers, we do collaborate, but it may not always be apparent. Well, that's not a specific funded program question, but it's one that a board might certainly want to know, right? Where is their connection? Where isn't there? Similar to what Mark just addressed, and maybe that will come out in the virtual process that you're going to engage in. But that's a system-level question, and the board may have those and may want to pursue those in certain years to take stock around what the system itself looks like, as opposed to just what does the portfolio look like, funded program to funded program. So that's all we're doing in the way of an overview. That was a sprint. We're happy to take questions now or at another time about the report or anything that we've said here. But one of the things we wanted to note, and I forgot, I had it down here, but I didn't say it, to thank the staff as well as the board members who also spent time with us in thinking about this. So Mark and Lynn and Peter as well, thank you so much. So any questions or anything that you want us to address right now?
The report is very thick, and it's very comprehensive, I should have said. And we appreciate it a lot. But I think many of us are eager to kind of get on with other business.
Yes, absolutely.
And I hope you're not offended by that.
Not at all, not at all. We want this
but
to be
we'll
of
know.
Service to you.
We know where to find you.
The nice thing and the last thing I'd say is just that we had a lot of input, and I think there's a lot of enthusiasm. So I appreciate it, and I hope there's a foundation we can keep moving forward on.
Well, we thank you very much.
You need to stifle
for doing
your...
I'm calling on... Susan.
Okay.
Susan.
Well, I appreciate this, too. It was very helpful to try and consolidate the various conversations we've been having around evaluation, and I think you did that. Now I'm eager to know that we'll move into a process with four funded projects where you can display or demonstrate how you take the general principles and actually use them with four programs. I'm assuming that this is year two of the contract, that we have a two-year contract. So that would be something that would happen this coming year, and you'll have some mechanism with the board to identify those programs. Right.
Yep.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say, as the one of the members of the subcommittee to get this evaluation going, that we went in some detail over this report, and I think everybody, if you haven't had a chance, read it slowly. It's really interesting. And I think will help us think about our own work as a board. So thank you for such a good job.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Thank you.
I just have one question.
Yes, Judy.
Just so when I'm reading this, I understand, when you have this evaluation tool, will that be presented throughout the year, the evaluation, or at the end of the year? When will we see the evaluation from the programs?
That's a great question, Judy. And it's also part of what ties to two-year contracts. So as soon as we identify the four targeted programs, I think part of what we should do in that process is identify a timeline for sharing. And in part, it'll depend on what the focus is, because some of that would take time to come to fruition, and it's not going to be viable until it's sort of further down the road in the fiscal year. But there might be important things to share along the way and to foster that sense of that learning collaboration, at least at the MHAC meeting and possibly back here. So I think our own bias would be to try to move towards something shareable earlier rather than later, but it's going to depend on the question, and I think it's going to depend on what the targeted programs are. But I think having a timeline that's articulated and reported back to say, hey, here's what we're thinking, and here's where there's some markers we think we could come back and share something, would be good.
Are there any other comments or questions? Thank you so very much.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
You know, you really put some of us on the spot, and I enjoyed it. Board-to-board reports. Are there any? Yes, Susan.
Just briefly, I don't see Sheila Ferguson in the group. Perhaps there's someone else here from Community Elements. Ah, yes, Julia. So there's a special announcement that's going to occur next week, and I assume that it's related to a merger that has been under discussion for a while. I've been at the board meetings and left for their many closed sessions, of course. I think there'll be some interesting news, hopefully exciting, next week about a merger with Community Elements and a renaming, possibly. Rosencrantz, Champaign-Urbana. Okay. So we may want to have a presentation at a near future meeting about what the implications are.
Yeah, thank you. Wow. Any other board-to-board reports? All right, we'll move on. Agency information? Seeing none, we'll... You couldn't hear me. That's why you didn't. Okay, Susan?
I move that we accept the financial report as presented.
Thank you. Is there a second? Thank you, Astrid. Any comments or questions, discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the same? Any, it's passed. Thank you very much. We have accepted this report. Okay. New business. We have the budget before us, and we're asked to approve it. And I'd like a motion, please. Do you have it? Are you on page 22 and 22 to 24? Had a chance to look it over, and I would like a motion to approve this budget for FY 17.
So moved.
Thank you, Julian. Is there a second? Thank you, Astrid. Any discussion? All right. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, the same? Not really.
It's not. I thought it was because we've got a decision section.
Yeah, just to be safe.
Let's have a roll call. Okay.
Susan Fowler?
Yes.
Judy O'Connor?
Yes.
Julian Rappaport?
Yes.
Deborah Townsend?
Yes.
Astrid Bergson?
Yes.
The motion carries, and it is accepted. Thank you. Page 25, have you had a chance to look at that? I need a motion to approve up to $17,355 as the Mental Health Board share, contingent on the approval of $12,645 by the CCDD Board, to sponsor an anti-stigma film and concurrent anti-stigma activities at the 2017 Roger Ebert's Film Festival. I need a motion.
Okay, I'll make the motion.
Thank you. I need a second. Thank you, Judy. Any discussion? I think you're about the same time. I'll call you. You'll get you both.
Although I feel like I'm preaching to the choir, and it's an expensive way of preaching to the choir.
Yeah, thank you. Susan.
I assume that the Ebert Film Festival is underway in terms of planning and will go on, but I did hear that they were concerned about the reduction in money that came in on the last festival. Is that a concern at all? I assume that if there were a problem with the film festival, we would make other arrangements, right? Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, that question was raised, and Chaz Ebert responded to, you know, during the festival and said that the festival is going on, you know, I think it's healthy and it's doing quite okay.
Okay. Any other, Judy?
In light of the recent happenings in this country, I think it's brought a real awareness to a lot of people that we have been discriminating, and I think that as a board, we need to take that movement and put our money in something that's going to draw more people from the community into working with the gay, lesbian community. Ebert Fest has been a good thing, but I really feel this is a lot of money. And hopefully, with all the positive news that and concern that people have had, this community will find something positive that will draw a lot more people to be aware, be a part. Because I know that in all the years that I've been in this community, I've never attended Ebert Fest. And I don't know who here could raise their hand and say, yes, that's a reoccurring thing for me to do. And I feel like we need to be able to participate.
Any other comments or questions? Okay, let's see. We have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded.
Roll call.
And we would like a roll call vote, please.
Judy O'Connor.
No.
Julian Rappaport.
Yes.
Deborah Townsend.
Yes.
Astrid Bergson.
No.
Susan Fowler.
Yes, for the coming year.
It's 3-2.
So the motion squeaks by. It's been approved.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Okay, next, no action is required, but I want to call your attention to the fine work that Chandra Somerville has done, a very complete report on the work that she's done with all of the agencies on cultural and linguistic competence plans. So do take time to read it so that you'll be informed about what the agencies are doing and changes that they are making. Okay. Any questions or comments? Okay, we'll move along then. Well, we've done that. Should we skip item 15B? Do you want to make a report at this time or just wait till our closed session?
No, I can make a report to the group. I would like to thank a couple of people who are in the audience for their participation on the search committee, Claudia Linhoff and Jennifer Knapp are in the audience, as well as several other individuals who are not. We have met, Deb Rusch and I have chaired the committee. We've met on five occasions to discuss the search, four occasions to begin looking at and discussing the candidates. And we do have a discussion proposed in the closed meeting of some viable candidates and hope to be able to have some decisions made by the DD board and the mental health board so that we could move forward with inviting individuals to interview for the search. But it's been a pretty intensive process for the last 6 weeks, and we also thank Mike Smith for the use of his office, which gave us a neutral territory to keep the files.
Okay. Thank you, Susan. I want to say that I attended a recent meeting and was very much impressed with the way that this committee is working together. It isn't that they read each other's minds, it's that they collaborate, they really do. So I was glad for the opportunity to be there. All right, SILA report.
We're about at the same place we were at the last month's meeting. The second home is up and operating, and they have people lined up for the possibility of a third home. They're doing some matching. The young man who just for, this is not related to the Arcillas, but, and I won't mention names, but you know the young man whose family has been here and has raised concerns about their child not being served or their adult son not being served. He is in a Scylla and is doing well. And so that's good.
Thank you. Any questions you'd like to ask, Peter? All right, we'll move ahead. I think it's time now for us to move into the closed session. Have I missed anything? Am I right? It's time. I need a motion. And a second. Thank you, Judy.
I have just one question.
Yes.
When we go into closed session, will the members of the search committee who are not on the board be at that meeting or not?
The members of the search committee will be there during the initial discussion so that if there are questions by the board members, they're available to answer those questions. When we go into deliberation, we'll ask them to leave the meeting.
Thank you.
If they're going to be in the closed session, I don't know. If that needs to be stated in the motion to go into closed session, any external people who are to stay have to be named in that motion.
Oh, thank you, Astrid. I didn't realize that.
Thank you.
Should we redo the motion? Is that possible?
Or just say we can vote on permitting them to stay.
Okay.
Again.
Yeah. Okay, I would like to move that the two boards, mental health and developmental disabilities, go into closed session, and for the first few minutes of the closed session, for purposes of discussing information obtained about candidates, that members of the search committee also join the two boards for that information sharing.
Is there a
second? And then leave.
Thank you, Astrid. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The same. No opposed. So it's passed, and we will now move into a closed session. What are the logistics here?
You're going next door.
We're going to go next door to the Putnam room.
Much better.
Much better.